This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. CDs and printed copies of today's service are available. Information on how to order will be given at the close of our service. We're happy you chose to worship with us today and every Sunday on this station.
Is the respect for authority in our day breaking down? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we hear people say often, there is no respect for anything anymore. We pray, O God, that you will help us to study this particular statement today. And we ask, O God, that you will guide and lead us in the teachings of your word on this most important teaching. So we thank you that we have your word to turn to, and that we are able to come into your church this day or open television or radio sets and listen to what your word is talking about for us who bear the name of Christian and for those who might be interested. So speak to us through that word. Grant that we may be faithful to it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God's Son has made me free. God's Son has made me free from Satan's tyranny, from fear of death and bonds of sin, from all that plagues my soul within. The Holy One divine became a friend of mine. From heaven, high, from starry sky, he came to live, to die. Oh, boundless love, he came, he died, he rose forever glorified. He came to give, to die that I might live. From heaven, high, from starry sky, he came to die that I might live. Might live with him eternally. God's Son has made me free. Good Son, I used my free. Good Son, I used my free.
Recently, a very gifted teacher in our public schools told me that she was leaving teaching because the lack of respect makes it too difficult to teach children anymore the way we used to. That was a general statement, and I asked her if she could get a little bit more specific, and she said, well, you know, children have always been a challenge, but I've loved them and felt that I did a pretty good job in teaching them the things that needed to be taught if they were to advance in their educational program. But she said today we sometimes wonder about the respect and the support that we have from the home. Now, there are many fine people, many parents who come to us and say, we'll work with you in any way possible. But there are those, and their numbers seem to grow, that in defense of their children, and perhaps because of some guilt on their part because they don't have the necessary time with them, they will really become critical that the job simply is not getting done and it is our fault. whereas we get practically no help whatsoever from those homes. That makes it difficult, because we can so often go home as feeling that we are failures, and that's not a good feeling at my age. So I'm going to give it up and maybe just sit home and enjoy life. Now, if that is true, and the reason that I bring it up today is that it is a part of our text, then I think we ought to take a look at what the Bible says regarding discipline and the lack of authority. I'm sure that it speaks to all of us as we listen carefully to the Word of God. It is true that we are a people who enjoy our freedom. And sometimes freedom can go just a little bit farther than it ought to go. In this book of 1 Peter, which we have been studying, we have seen that we are to live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as people with a living hope. And we also come to that part of the text where Peter says, since we are saved, since we are a part of his kingdom, and since we have been built into this great church home, let us remember that there is a life that needs to be lived. And so here in our text today, he's talking to us about our submission to rulers and masters. And can that be the case in our day today? I read to you from the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 13. Here the apostle says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as the servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters. And so the apostle goes on, but we'll limit it to just the part that deals with rulers and the implications of that in our everyday society. Now, when you read a passage of scripture like this, you have to realize that this was the Roman Empire under which Peter was living. It was the empires of men like Nero who threw the people to the wild animals if they were Christian. He wanted to blot out that name of Jesus Christ once and for all. And this was the government that produced a Pontius Pilate who sentenced Jesus Christ to death on a cross when he was thoroughly convinced that Jesus was as innocent as could be, but it was for political purposes that he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And then he went out and flogged Jesus and handed him over to be crucified. And so we confess every Sunday morning in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Pontius Pilate, it was under him, Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. But it appears that our Lord Jesus, while he was very firm that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, reminded them that they really had no authority over him, no power over him. Had he wanted to, he could have called on his Father, and legions of soldiers would have come to free him up. But he was obedient even unto death on the cross. And while the hundreds and the thousands of people were dying for the cause of Christ, when you take the examples of Peter and Paul, you see that these people were very vocal on what they had to say about their faith in Jesus Christ, but they were persecuted and they were killed in the Neronian persecution. So rather than to defy authority and say, well, we got to let up on this, we have to relax a little bit, it isn't a part of our culture, these people remain true. Now the question is, do we do that today? Would it be beneficial? Well, the church has pretty much decided that they have to handle this thing a bit more careful. Whether that's right or not, I don't know. People have had trouble in handling authority from government, authority in many other places of our society from the very beginning. We live in a democracy. We are a government of the people. We are the ones who choose our own leaders, and if we do not like them, we can send them away in another 4 years or 2 years, whatever the office is that we are voting for. That is a little bit different. Now, when the law of God is held under the law of man, it is said to us, you must obey God rather than Caesar. Let there be no mistake, this portion of Scripture cannot be misinterpreted. It is talking about authority, and it is telling us that the chief authority in our world is the Christian faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. But we have chosen as a people, and it appears that God has showered his blessings upon it, to build a government of the people, for the people, and so we live and have enjoyed it. But because we have had all of this freedom, can we then do anything that we wish and simply get by with it because we are the free people? I question that. One may not vote for the particular person who is being installed as a president of the United States. He might say that when 4 years comes around, I am going to vote for the person who is running against him. That is a freedom that we have in the United States. But don't you feel some kind of emotion when they're televising the inauguration of the president? And here we are assembled together in television around the world, but in Washington with all of our leaders, court people, and so forth. And the sergeant of arms comes out and says, as the president is about to enter the room, these words, the president of the United States. That is always a very emotional statement for me. He is my leader for 4 years. And unless he defies God Almighty and his word, and denounces also the fact that the faith in Jesus Christ is what has clearly been stated in our documents, then I cannot be anything but obedient to him at the end. Is that the teaching of the Christian church today on this matter of authority when it comes to government? For me, it is. For me, it is. We may criticize the president once in a while, but we criticize our parents. We criticize our children. It is not done with any vicious means whatsoever. This whole matter of authority, but it does not only relate to government. But it also relates to other parts of our society. The authority as far as the employer-employee relationship is concerned. Is the employer still not the authority? Can he still not say to the employee, this is the way that it's going to be? What is your answer to a question like this? Many employers say that it is impossible to run a business in our situation here, and so I'm just going to fold it up, call it quit, and either send it off overseas somewhere or else just retire. Is that because we have a lack of respect for authority? Coming back to the teacher that I talked about at the beginning of my sermon, it was lack of respect for authority that was chasing her right out of the classroom. There was a parent. The parent was giving the child a poor training from the home. The child was understanding that her father or mother would go after that teacher, and she or he would be put in his or her place. Now, there are vast, vast numbers of situations where this would not be true. But if there are just a few, can that grow? Do we want that to happen? You know, and I know, that if we were reprimanded back 50 years ago, or 60 years, or whatever it might be, we dare not let that come home to our parents, for there might be more coming to us when we got home than we got in school. You see, there it is, friend. That parent-children situation. Can we dare, for example, to let the blueprint of the Bible be thrown out of the window when it comes to the kind of an organization we should have in our homes? Does there not have to be a head? And now may I be brave enough to say, is not the head the Father? That's what the Bible says. If we read on in these chapters in Peter, that's what we would hear. Not that he is to be a beast, but he is to be the security blanket. And then there comes mother, who is to be loved by her husband as if he were his very own body. As Christ loved the church, so the husband loves his wife. There is not this idea that I'm going to use her as a servant. No, she is my queen. Does the children not need to hear that? Can they have any real understanding of marriage if there is not a father and a mother who respect and love one another? What about it in the home? Is it not also true that here the children should be taught to respect their parents? And the parents are not to irritate the children. Each one has his own role. Each one is playing a part of the kingdom of God. But there is no real way that that can be the home, the God-pleasing, unless there is in it a respect for authority. Now, can the children go out and say, I respect my teacher. I respect my authority, the policeman. I respect my coach, or whoever else it might be, if he has not first learned the basic concept of that word, authority. There is the matter of the police. I am sure that there are some who sometimes go farther than they should. But those people are there for my safety. Man being what he is, it is necessary to have the police. And we should realize and teach our children that they are servants of God. And they are there to police us, to help us, until proven otherwise. Is that what's happening in our day? Well, I know that what I have to say today may not be taken too seriously when you see that authority is beginning to go by the wayside and to some extent. But if I could just convince you that the Word of God has spoken, and you would read this second chapter of 1 Peter, from whence our thoughts come today, and you would read what St. Paul had to say when he wrote to the Romans, and you would read what he has to say when he writes to the people who live in Ephesus. It is God who has instituted authority. This part of God's Word needs a good looking at as we live in a democracy where authority is being attacked. We are free within limits. We can carry our freedom so far that soon we will find ourselves in slavery. But it seems to me that Peter has left this part of his word with such a wonderful thought. Listen to it. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. Wouldn't that be a pretty good way to live? Wouldn't that be good for us to respect everyone? You say, well, that's going too far. We may not respect everything that a person does, but we can't help but respect him, for he is created in the image of God. He is precious to God. And so, because we are the children of God, we respect him too. Not what he does always, but who he is. To live together, there must be order. To have order, there must be authority. And authority must be respected. These are the words of our Lord, and we who bear his name should give it great consideration. Amen. Father in heaven, we confess that you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You are our authority. And so because you have spoken to us on this matter of authority, which is so applicable to our day, that you would give us the grace to stop and think what our King, our heavenly King, has said, that we are to honor and respect those who have placed an authority over us, and in our democracy, grant that we may choose God-fearing men and women to lead this blessed land of ours that we love so dearly. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and the internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. September is anniversary month for Christian Crusaders. Our first radio broadcast was aired September 6, 1936, on WMT Radio, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. We are celebrating 75 years of continuous radio broadcasts with a program and reception today at 2 p.m. If you're in the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, you are cordially invited to join us 2 p.m. this afternoon at Nazareth Lutheran Church. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of you give an anniversary gift of $75, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank each of you for your gifts of any size and your prayers for this program. CDs and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the last 49 years.